Have you been looking for your keys to success? You have found the best place to start. We will hear from professionals on different keys to success in building huge careers in and outside the mortgage industry. These conversations that each person will share their experience will allow you to hear nuggets on finding your keys to success. I'm your host, Sue Meitner. So let's get started and grab your keys. So welcome everyone, So welcome everyone. Thank you so much for joining Grab Your Keys. I have a wonderful guest on today. His name is David Sumner, and he is the accounting paleontologist. So even though we think paleontologists are so interesting to say paleontology, David, welcome to Grab Your Keys.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited. I've listened to a bunch of your other podcasts, and I'm really privileged and happy to be a part of it.
Well, we are privileged to have you. Can you first make our viewers and myself understand what an accounting paleontologist is?
Sure. I don't know if anyone else uses the term. It's my own little catchphrase or term. And it's because I'm what you would call a forensic accountant. And so what I do is I help organizations or individuals when they suspect fraud or misconduct within their organization. And I, like a regular paleontologist, will dig through the bones of the accounting system and the records and try to figure out the who, what, where, when, and how. And it all sparks from me being a, you know, still a little bit of a child at heart and still wanting to be that dinosaur hunter that I was when I was 8 years old. And I've just chosen a profession that barely kind of aligns with it, but
yeah, I love that. That who, what, where, when, how. It's really just digging underneath the surface to figure out where everything is, where it came from, where it went, who did it, and all that good stuff, especially during this accounting season that we're all in right now. Yeah. So businesses are in it just as much as people. So in trying to figure out, I know I was just talking to our corporate and they were trying to get all of their financials together for HUD and, you know, getting all that stuff in there. What made you decide to take this path, you know, in keeping the heart and soul of a 8 year old, but going into a profession that you enjoy?
Sure. So, well, to be honest, it was an accident.
Right.
My father was a salesman. He was a commercial realtor and he was great at what he did. And he loved being in sales. And he said to me all throughout high school and college, be a salesman, be your own boss. You know, you'll get compensated if you do real well. And so I took that advice. And after college, I started as a salesperson for financial products. And to be quite honest, I sucked. Mm-hmm. I was terrible at it. I wasn't prepared. I had always listened to my father and, oh, just do it. But you know, I really wasn't prepared for that lifestyle, what it took. I didn't have the tools. And so after floundering around and not being very happy at all, I just decided a change was needed. And I started a new position at what was an engineering consulting firm. And they did something very similar. They did to forensic accounting is what I mean, is very similar in that they were looking at when a nuclear plant was being refueled and it was behind schedule. And so assigning risk or what was the blame? Why was it behind schedule? Or why was this bridge taking twice as long to build? And I love that puzzle. And I love that challenge of trying to figure out why was something going wrong. But I'm not an engineer and I knew I wasn't going to go back to school and get an engineering degree. So I found, moved on again, but with a focus in mind. And I found a position at a Big Four accounting firm doing forensic accounting. And it's the same thing. I love it. And to this day, I got bit early on, still love it.
That's amazing. What do you think? I mean, you've been doing this for how long?
Oh, 25 years.
Right. So what do you think the three keys to being successful at anything are?
At anything.
Where are your three keys to success?
So I think I'm going to do a little bit of a mashup, I think, as I'm thinking it through, of what's good for me personally and also in my profession. One of the things I think I'm very good at is I'm pretty good under pressure. I think I have a thick skin. I've been in some pretty pressure-filled situations where sometimes a company was about to be delisted and the board of directors and the president are all yelling and screaming, get this done. And you know what you got? We want to get it done, but we're not done yet. So we have to ignore that. Sometimes I've had clients who, or people I was interviewing for fraud, threaten me and do those types of things, or wow, lose their emotional cool. And I've had the great ability. I don't let that affect me. I don't respond in kind. I let it just, water off a duck's back and move on. And I certainly don't take it out on someone on my team. I isolate it and I take it on myself. So that's one thing. I think that I'm also pretty good with admitting when I've made a mistake and acknowledging it. And I knew that I made a mistake with my career once and changed it. I've made mistakes in my work. And one of the things I think is important to do is I own it. I don't pass the buck to a junior or to a colleague or a peer. Own it and move on. Accept that.
Would you say, because obviously you manage people, would you say, and I find this in my profession, that when a mistake's made, even if it's somebody on my team, I own it. Like, it's my mistake. It's our team's mistake, which makes it my mistake. Do you feel that you do that too?
Oh, absolutely. There is no, I don't think anything can be gained by saying, oh, so-and-so the first year, second year did it. I look at everything that goes out the door when someone did it. Right. And if I didn't catch it, then I didn't catch it. Right. And therefore I own it. So that's the point. I'm ultimately responsible to my client and I'm the one that I'm asking them to pay for my services. And I also, out of that, they should expect to hear my honest response to a mistake.
Right. Absolutely. So good under pressure, keep an emotional cool, and admit mistakes. I don't think that any of those three, and with all the people that I've spoken to over the past 2 years, have come up with that three combination. I absolutely love it because each one really shows a high level of emotional intelligence. Besides, being an accounting paleontologist, you're good under pressure. You're looking at all the numbers, you're figuring everything out, but then you're also I can't imagine with fraud and everything else that might come about in your profession, keeping your emotional cool. You're dealing with people's companies, their first babies, their second borns, things that are important to them, plus their money. And then three, admitting a mistake. Like, we all are not omniscient. Like, mistakes happen. And it's so important to understand that mistakes happen and we have to just own them.
Yeah. And, one of the things that really makes it, worthwhile is sometimes what I do is I actually will say there isn't fraud. I've tried to get to the right answer. Sometimes there is fraud and sometimes there isn't. But when you are questioning someone, they will get emotional. I'll remember the first interview that I got that really cemented my view that I was in the right industry profession was when I elicited my first admission of guilt. And it was, where I put all the evidence down in front of this individual, asked him whether or not he did the wrongdoing. And I had learned, because I had some good people that I learned from on how to conduct interviews. And then I zipped my mouth up. And for what seemed like 2 hours, but I think it was probably only 30 to 40 seconds, while this individual looked around their office, they looked at the family photo, they looked at their, their reports and their degree, and they knew that what was happening. But they acknowledged it. Be treated like professionals. And while he lost his job ultimately, I think at the end of the day, he got a fair shake. He also took responsibility for his mistakes. And I think that I hope to think that he's learned his lesson and he's a better person, a better man for it now.
Yeah, we all understand that mistakes happen. And, you know, you have to own up to them and move on for them. What's one challenge that you have faced that has shaped who you are today?
I faced lots of challenges, but let's say that, you know, I came into this industry early on when I was not actually qualified. I was an economics major, and I had to sit there when I was early on deciding that this is what I wanted to do. Not only did I do the work and it was hard, and I had to work extra hard because I didn't have the accounting background that my peers did and my bosses and my clients expected. So I took classes at night at Temple University and took extra classes to prepare for the CPA exam. And I had to put a whole bunch more effort in than a lot of other my peers did.
Right.
And it was worth it. And I'm glad I did it, because when I talk to my friends and a lot of other people, they have jobs, but they don't love it.
Right.
I have a job and I love it.
Right. Yeah. What do you think makes you love your job?
My wife will laugh if she hears this comment here, is I'm very competitive.
Right.
And I will, and that scene when I'm doing, let's say, board game night with the family, my wife still gets angry with me. I have a 22 and a 23-year-old, and I don't let them win.
Right.
I am winning the game no matter what it is, whether it is, you know, when I visited my son, we were doing some ping pong game in the backyard of the fraternity, or, you know, a board game at home, I was going to win that game. And so when I'm presented with a allegation of fraud, I am at it to figure out what happened. And I know when someone's being dishonest. And when I figure they're dishonest, I'm like a dog on a bone. And I want to get to the, find and figure out the puzzle. And yeah. I'm very motivated by that.
That's I get the competitiveness. I mean, I'm in a competitive field. I'm competitive with my children. Yeah. I get it. And I was never, were you competitive as a child too? Do you think it was something that you were born with, or did you learn the competitiveness? Because like, I was not competitive in high school or really even in college. Like, I just got competitive in work life.
Now, see, I wasn't much of an athlete, but I was always competitive at something. I hated to be wrong. And I knew when I was wrong, I kind of knew it. But I hated that. I think.
Well, I also hate to be wrong. So if that's a competitive, then guilty.
I think it was always, I think it's always been in me. I don't remember, because, you know, we didn't play games as a family in my household.
Right.
And I wasn't an athlete. I just always, that was just the way I'm wired.
Right. Are your children wired that way too now?
I don't think it's not nearly as not as much as I am.
Yeah.
No. If it's in a gene, it wasn't passed on.
Right. That's my question. Yeah. So in the industry that you are in, do you see this, your industry, the accounting industry, the business industry evolving in any way or in any one direction right now?
Well, it depending on when you're listening to this podcast,
right
now,
it will be in the first half of 2025.
Exactly right. A lot of the bigger accounting firms are going through a lot of layoffs, so that's sort of in the I think that's got a lot of people in the accounting industry a little bit walking on eggs. Certainly there's a lot of change or potential change with the prospect of less government financing,
right?
Funding, excuse me. But then on the other side, you know, everyone talks about AI, and I know it's a buzzword and it can mean a lot of things, but I do truly think every industry will be impacted by it in some shape or form at some point. I think some people see it as a threat. I don't personally.
I was just going to ask you took the words right out of my mouth, because I feel that you're going to always need the personal touch with regards to accounting or fraud or mergers and acquisitions or, you know, any of that, or mortgage or any of that kind of stuff. And AI can only just support what you are doing, in my opinion. How do you feel about that? You know, you took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah, I think it's a great tool. I use it a little bit right now. I don't think it's going to replace accountants. I would love to have better AI tools right now. If I could have better, more reliable AI tools, I could deliver my work product, my reports faster, cheaper to my clients. I would have more comfort. You know, for example, when I'm talking to a company and, you know, we're talking about millions of transactions, we can't look at that each one of those million transactions. Having better tools to do that will give me the ability to conclude with more confidence and be able to give them a better answer. And then the story I told about doing an interview of someone, a mission-seeking interview. AI, well, other than in like a science fiction movie or something like that, there's a side to that that humans are always going to have a role in.
Right, because everyone feels that everything is a science. But I even say with mortgage, I'm dealing with all numbers. You're dealing in accounting. You're dealing in all numbers. But there's an art and a science that have to be merged together to come up with a product that you're comfortable handing to someone. And I think that even though our businesses are so different, they're actually very similar in that you need to have the art and the science of it mold together.
And there's so much when you're sitting in front of someone, that human interaction that an AI that can't do is you body language. Yes. You see, in your instance, you present a package or a solution for their lending needs, for their dream home. And it's just not like you can tell immediately. I'll bet sometimes they're not happy.
They look right at the payment or how much money they need. And they're like, oh, and I'm like, well, this is the parameters that you gave me. Now let's go back to the drawing board so that we can get you where you really want to be. I gave you what you thought you wanted. But obviously we're not on the same page. So that's why we're sitting here. That's why we're talking about it. And that's actually, it's so funny you say that, because that's why I do, like, we're being interviewed digitally, but side by side. But when I talk to people on their first consultation or second consultation, I am face to face with them. Because I need to read that body language. I need to see how they're interacting together to see if they're both on the same page. You're totally right.
Something I'm thinking about in your instance, if you've got, a husband and wife together, you'll be able to sit there and say one person's on board with that payment amount, the other is not. And you have to be prepared for that. What if, you're going to have to come up with it or think in your mind, I may have to have a backup plan here ready to go.
Yeah.
Because someone is not happy and there may be a very interesting car ride home from your office where they're going to discuss things a little bit more that you're not going to know about.
And it's also the who, what, where, when, why, how. Mm-hmm. You have to ask all those questions all the time with regards to numbers. And as I said, it's an art, not a science. And I can totally tell with what you're doing, even by the word paleontology, that it's an art, not a science. So what's a piece of advice that you use all the time?
I don't think I default to one tried and true phrase. But I would say that I think that the most prevalent sort of constant in my life is a role model. And I'll kind of substitute my answer there a little bit with you there. Most impactful person in my entire life was my maternal grandfather. Mm-hmm. I'm very lucky growing up. We lived with them at the same time. My parents lived at their house. It was a nice extended family. He was someone who grew up in the Depression. He had an important role in World War II. He worked on the earliest computers and retired from IBM. Everything about him was a fantastic role model. And if I think about everything I did while he was still with us, a lot of my things was, how would he think about what I was doing?
Right.
I was looking through his lens of, can I meet his standards? And it's not like he had high standards for me. It was my standard of making him proud of me.
Right.
That's what it was. It was not that he was judgmental. I wanted to meet his standard. I wanted to make him proud of me.
Yeah. That's amazing. And if you think of that generation, the amount of advancement that from, you know, their childhood of just, you know, seeing cars being invented for the most part, like through then having radio in their houses, then TV, you know, even refrigerators, I mean, to cell phones, like literally that generation passed the great, I think it was called the great generation. They were seeing the beginning signs of the cell phone. And, you know, even fax machines, I remember they thought were like so crazy, you know, from telephones to faxes to TV, like just all of that to airplanes and rockets, you know, first man on the moon, amazing technology, amazing things. But it made you also realize that, you know, I remember my grandmother talking about having tomatoes and corn for dinner or having the milk delivered and how it was like a treat to have the milk delivered, you know, back in the day. And to hear those stories and really understand where generations upon built on generations upon generations to have a better life for each other. And there were families living together and extended families so that you could learn that. That's, you know, seeing things through those people's lenses. And I understand you weren't like, you knew that no matter what you did made them proud. It's just that you wanted to make them even prouder.
Yeah. It's little things too.
Yeah.
I mean, he grew up in a depression, never had money. We never left food on the plate. It was always, and it wasn't because there was, you know, I think most of the time there was enough food. But it was, you never took more than what you needed. You could go back for seconds, but you didn't leave food on your plate. And that drives me bonkers with my kids. And, you know, and it's hard for me to explain to them in this time of plenty. I don't, you know, just take smaller part and go back and get as much as you want, but don't throw away that bit of food. And that was just a, you know, just something that's always been with me. I was never for wanting of food that I remember, but it was just something, you know, a little thing that you're just, it has always stuck with me.
Yeah. If there was another profession that you would be, like, if you could just be anything that you wanted to be, is there anything else that you would want to be besides the accounting paleontologist?
We said it early on. I still would love to do a sciencey thing with dinosaurs. I am still a tiny little boy at heart.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can see, I've got
fossils
every Christmas. That's a safe present for dad.
Right.
He will enjoy every one of them. And I do. That fascinates me. And behind my chair, I've got a whole bunch of books. And if I'm reading nonfiction, it's about dinosaurs. So maybe it's a little bit weird, but it kind of really rolls up into who I am.
Yeah, I think that's super cool. What is in the future for you?
Yeah. What is in the future? I'm going to make a plug here for you that unsolicited, Stu did not pay me for this. But I was listening to one of your more recent podcasts and with Megan.
Okay.
And one of her phrases, and I'm going to misquote it here. I think she said, I love going to work and I love coming home.
Right. No, she loves, she
said, close to
I love going to work as much as I love coming home. Like
okay.
I totally understand what you just said.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that is, you know, I love what I do. You know, the challenge, the different clients, the variety, it uses my skill set and the way my mind works, my competitiveness, all very good. And then coming home is also awesome. I'm so happy that I, you know, I went from a big four firm to a mid-sized firm where I changed my work-life balance about 6 years ago. And that's made a huge difference. I'm still amazed that I'm still married after what I did early on in my career.
I know.
Working for a big four. My wife was alone with two kids and I was gone sometimes six days a week traveling and sometimes for a month at a time. I'm so lucky that she didn't divorce me.
Right.
So, you know, I love coming home to them. You know, every night when I'm home, we have my pets give me great enjoyment. That's goofy too, but those things bring a smile to my face. I mean, if I'm smiling every day, I'm happy.
Yeah. So it was so funny because I just spent a weekend with great friends and mm-hmm. friends' children and family. And, you know, I left and my cup was runneth over, you know, there was so much joy and laughter and it really is a work-life balance that we all have to work towards every single day. And that's, you know, one of the great things about bringing Grab Your Keys to the viewers mm-hmm. to see that like, not every key fits the same keyhole. Like mm-hmm. there's lots of different things to do in your life, lots of ways to find joy, lots of ways to find success. And it's just grabbing your keys and making it work.
And when that key doesn't work for you any longer, switch it out and get a different one.
That's exactly right. That's exactly yes. right.
Don't be afraid to make that change because you can do something, you can make it better.
Yeah, you can always make it better. And I so appreciate you being on Grab Your Keys with me. I've really appreciated getting to know you, understanding your business and you as a person. I love the scientific parts. I love the fossily parts, the paleontologist parts. So thank you so much for giving just a little piece of yourself to Grab Your Key audience. So remember, everyone, if you liked it, put a like. If you share it, please share it. And we always appreciate hearing from you about what you want to hear on Grab Your Keys.